Welcome to the Career Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Roden. Artificial intelligence will soon change everything you know about the employment process. From employability scores to employee engagement, no career process will be deemed sacred. So from CEOs to startup founders to techs working in a rented garage, this is the show dedicated to talking to the people who are shaping tomorrow's career landscape today. Hello and welcome to the Career Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Roten. And on today's show, I'm speaking with Omer Molad from Vrbo. Vrbo's mission is to fundamentally transform the hiring process. They do this using an AI-powered skill testing platform that allows candidates to showcase their talent using real-world scenarios and AI to recommend the top performers. Omer, welcome to the Career Tech Podcast.
Hey, Ryan. Great to be here on the show with you.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. I greatly appreciate it. As you know, we talked right before I turned on the camera. I am a customer of Vrbo, and also in addition to being a big fan, I like what you're doing. And I'm pretty sure when we're done talking today, anybody listening in on the podcast is going to be a big fan as well. But I'm curious, and the question I always like to ask all my guests on this show is, why did you decide to take on the career space out of all the other spaces that are out there? Why the career space?
Well, firstly, I just want to thank you for the kind words and for being a customer of ours. We appreciate that. You know, this is very personal for us and for me especially. A lot of years ago, I moved from Tel Aviv to Melbourne. And when I was living in Israel, I served in the military and I went to the best school in the country and I worked at a couple of successful startups. And I had what would be considered a good resume. And then I moved to Melbourne and, you know, I applied for probably about 100 jobs and couldn't get an interview. And I went, you know, very quickly from being kind of hot property to persona non grata. And I was the same person. I applied for jobs I felt I was really qualified for. But all of a sudden, I was the guy who had a funny name that no one could pronounce. I was from the Middle East. I didn't have a university degree. I served in the military and people didn't really know how to put all that together and what to make of it. And I felt really burnt by that, by being excluded without really getting a chance to get in the room and prove what I could do. And I think that, you know, that feeling, I didn't understand it at the time, but that stayed with me for a long time. And much later on, I was running a large team in corporate finance, and you know, I would often headhunters would send me very accomplished, well-credentialed candidates, senior people from J.P. Morgan, and people who looked really good on paper and went to very famous universities. And after spending a lot of time with them, you know, a lot of these people couldn't really apply their skills to our environment. And then sort of it also became apparent that when I looked inside our team, that the top performers, the best people, were not necessarily the ones that you'd pick out of a lineup. They were the ones who were most hungry or most curious, who stayed back, who worked hard, who applied themselves. And it just became apparent really quickly that, you know, there's not a big correlation between how you present on paper and how much you end up contributing, and that is really what led us to build the company. Because David, my co-founder, had a similar experience. He was working in Silicon Valley in technology, and the hackers who were self-taught were often the ones who were the best, not the people who graduated from Stanford. And so we really came together on this concept of showing companies what people can do rather than what they've done or how they present on paper. And that was really the beginning for this journey that we're on now.
Wow. Cool. Good story. Who do you see as probably, this answer is probably pretty obvious, but who do you see this technology being used more for than job candidates or employers?
So it's a great question. So the model that we use is, so our paying customers are companies, and we only market to companies who are hiring. So we're not a talent pool. We don't have a direct entry point for candidates. Now, having said that, candidates are the most important stakeholder, the most important user on our platform, for a couple of reasons. First of all, if candidates aren't completing the evaluations on our platform, then our customers don't get any value. And so everything we do is built around the candidate experience. And we've invested very, very heavily in making sure that candidates, not just that it's easy for them, but that they really feel like this is not another hurdle. This is an opportunity, right? We want them to feel like, you know, wow, this is now, you know, I'm getting a chance to show what I can do that's better than what I would otherwise get in the traditional hiring process. So that's the first reason. The second reason that candidates are so important is they're just fundamental to our values and our mission, which is to, you know, to make hiring about merit. And, you know, we believe so deeply that giving everyone a chance to prove their skills is the way that hiring should happen, not arbitrarily eliminating people based on their background. So when we see that companies are using us, you know, what we call it, the top of the hiring funnel, and testing everyone together, not ruling people out based on their resume, we feel like we've achieved something. And we collect feedback from candidates, and the best feedback we get is when candidates say to us, you know, this should be the new way to apply. I really got a chance to show what I can do. I really got a chance to show who I really am, those kind of things. You know, that's what makes us really sleep well at night and feel like it was all worth it. So the employers are our paying customers, but candidates are at the center of everything we do.
Yeah, I love that show who I am statement, because you know how I've been there. You know, you apply for a position, you know you can do that position, but yet something along the way kicks you out before you even get a chance to have the opportunity to let people know that, yeah, I can actually do this. And one of the things you said there, another thing you said there was you're at the top of the hiring funnel. So if you look at the job search process as it exists today, where do you see Vrbo fitting into that process? Are you at the very beginning? Do you see yourself as a replacement for the initial phone screen or somewhere between there and an on-site interview?
Yeah, so it really depends on how our customers like to use us. Our preference is to be used at the top of the funnel. And there are companies who really replace the phone screen and face-to-face interviews. And what they might do is end up, you know, having 100 applicants, and then instead of interviewing 5 or 10, they'll only end up meeting with 1 or 2. And not only do they have to interview less people, but the discussions that they have with those final candidates are very different. They've already validated their skills. They already know they can do the job. So now when you're meeting with that final person, maybe couple of people, you're focusing on really two things. The first is building rapport and how can we work well together and how can we set you up as a candidate for success. And the second is closing the deal and selling to the candidate. You're not spending time asking resume questions and trying to figure out if they can do the job. You already know that. And you know, a good example of when we're used at the top of the funnel is graduate programs and intern programs. Now, I'll give you an example of when we might be used at the middle or bottom of the funnel. If it's a hard to fill role and you're trying to attract passive candidates who are not applying and you're tapping them on the shoulder, maybe you're using a headhunter or maybe you found them on LinkedIn, you don't necessarily want to say to them, now do a test, because you have to sell to them and convince them to work at your company. So you might want to take a more white glove approach and actually bring them in for a discussion, get them to buy into your mission and your story. And then when they've done that, you can say, look, you know, everyone who we hire does a design challenge. We want to make sure that, you know, we have a high standard of hiring, and then they'll be usually very happy to undergo some form of evaluation because they respect that you have a high standard of recruitment, but you're not going to throw them into that as the first step. So, you know, our customers are getting more and more savvy in terms of where do you use software and where are humans playing a role in the recruitment process. And I think, you know, a best practice recruitment process involves both working well together. We're not trying to replace humans in any way, shape, or form.
All right, you said something there that I want to start to dive a little bit more into the product itself. And I know we're going to go into a demonstration here in a little bit with Damon, but for now, at a high level, I want to talk about you mentioned you already know that those candidates can do the job. How does Vervo help companies understand that candidates can already do that job?
Sure. So essentially what we try and do is get candidates to do tasks that they would normally do on the job. So if their job is to sell, if it's a sales role, then we want to put them in scenarios where they have to sell. It might be writing a cold email. It might be doing a mock cold call. If on their job they need to write a press release or do a pitch book, then we'll get them to create or edit a PowerPoint presentation or draft a document. If they're in, if it's a financial services role or accounting role and they need to do something in Excel like a discounted cash flow or reconcile a ledger or build a financial model, then we'll get them to do that. And so instead of kind of guessing how good people are or instead of asking them and believing what they say, we actually give them an opportunity to show what they can do. And so we try and put them in scenarios that will resemble what they'll have to do on the job.
And that's actually, I've noticed it's a trend with companies now. They're wanting to do more of, or trying to figure out how do I put my employees into that scenario or potential employees into that scenario so I can tell whether or not they can do the job. Because I could be the greatest candidate in an interview and tell you I can do all this great and wonderful stuff. And from my resume, you look at it and you go, well, I can't really disagree with it from the resume. But being able to demonstrate that what you can do is a completely different thing. And I think that's where your product shines, giving candidates the opportunity to do that.
And then you know, in addition to showing the employer how well a candidate can perform a task, it's also really good for the candidate to get a realistic sense of what they'll be doing. It helps candidates qualify themselves. Some candidates say, you know, actually, this is not for me. And other candidates get more excited. We've had candidate feedback where they say, you know, I want this job even more. I love, you know, I've got a real sense of what I'll be doing. And I love that the company's giving me an opportunity to show that early on. And it gets them excited. So it brings them closer to the job.
Yeah, I love that. Qualify themselves, because there's nothing worse than taking a position, getting into it, and then realizing that either it's not what you expected or B, you really don't like it.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and that's not just bad for the candidate, that's bad for the employer as well. So you're kind of eliminating that step out of the whole, you know, job hiring process. So talk to me about how you do that assessment, right? So you obviously work with the employers to determine what are the tasks that they'll do. And then we take those tasks and then we can figure out the right questions to ask or the right ways for them to demonstrate it. How does that actually come about, the list of tasks that or questions that someone would be asked using your product?
Yeah, so there are three ways that employers can generate content that can be used to test candidates. The first is some of our customers, they know what they want to ask and they're already auditioning or testing candidates, but they're doing it offline. So they might bring people in to do something on a whiteboard, or they might be using like Google Docs or something kind of clunky, but they're already using the same methods. And so then really they just bring that process online and it's in one place and they can capture all the data and streamline it and manage it from our platform. So they can create their own talent trials on our platform and they're only available to them, you know, in a private directory. And then, as you know, and then they can be used. The second way is we have a library of pre-prepared talent trials. So for companies who don't always know exactly what they want to ask or need inspiration, might not know how to test for a certain role, they can use something that was written by an expert. And the best part about it is they can then customize that. So if you don't find exactly what you need, you can choose something that's close enough and then change some of the questions or maybe add your own touch, you know, add a question that's very specific to your unique circumstances as a company. And the third option, which is typically utilized by larger companies, we charge for it and they have companies that have really specific needs, is We have an in-house IO psychology team that we make available, and they can work with you to design something special. That obviously takes, you know, a little bit longer and more work. So that's a service we provide, usually for larger companies, but you know, it's actually being utilized more and more. So they're the three ways that we generate content.
Yeah, but I would imagine too, the last way, the psychology team, I mean, it's got to be less expensive than making the wrong hire.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, right? It's a fraction of that. And you know, what it does is it gives companies confidence that they're really looking for the right things. You know, for every company, you can have 10 different companies hiring for the same role, and they're all going to do it differently, because being successful as a graphic designer in company A is not the same as being successful as a graphic designer in company B. They have different cultures and different values and different market dynamics. And there are just so many things that are bespoke. And we really emphasize that aspect of it, that it's not a one size fits all. It's really about the context. So it's not just doing tasks in isolation, but it's being successful in the context of the company that you're going to work with. And so we really work with companies to make sure that they're not just testing for things generically, but they're taking into account their circumstances and what makes people successful in their environment.
Yeah, as you were talking there, it actually reminds me of my days as a program manager, when there's always this crunch at the back end of projects to do stuff, to get things done on time. But my experience always told me, the more time you spend up front, the more effort you put into, like, for example, coming up with the right questions, the right tasks, the right things to ask candidates to make sure they can actually do the job, the less work you have to do in the back end, and your greater your chances are for success, and not finding out that you make a mistake at the end of the project or you forgot about something at the end of the project, that, you know, you're doing it all up front, which I think is really pretty cool.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just about setting your process up for success and making sure that you're bringing in the right people. And there's no amount of investment, however much you invest in recruitment, it won't be enough, because, as you said, the cost of a bad hire will by far outweigh any investment that you make up front in the hiring process.
Right, right. So we work with the company to put together the questions, either with them, or they select from either pre-selected or their own questions, which, by the way, I like the private piece too, because, I mean, that gives you something that's very tailored to your company. And then if you want to use the Kaizen vernacular, you can say that over time, I can continuously improve those questions, throw out ones that I'm not finding make a lot of sense, and add in ones that are better. So you kind of refine that as you go through. But you put out a link to the candidates so that they can go and take the tests. The candidates go through, they do the assessments. And then what I think is really cool is you have this feature that you use AI for, which is called auto grading. Can you tell me a little bit about how that works?
Sure. So what we discovered was that if you have a lot of applicants, so if you're evaluating people at scale, you need to spend a lot of time reviewing the responses. And remember, as we said before, we want to encourage companies to use us at the top of the funnel to really give every candidate a chance. And we don't want companies to say, well, I've got a lot of applicants and I don't have time to review all the responses, so I'm just going to screen a whole bunch of them out at the beginning and only test a handful, right? And so we had to close that loop, and we wanted to find a way to really present the candidates in a logical order, not to rule people out, but really to make sense out of all this insight, so out of the way that candidates have completed tasks. And so we spent a lot of time analyzing candidate data and employer data, and we came up with a way to automatically grade every talent trial and rank candidates in order. And the beauty about this is that we can do it for any test, and we only take into account the way that the candidate has completed the talent trial. So if you or I were to do a test, or if a Harvard graduate or someone who's 60 or 20, whatever, we all start from the same starting point. There's no distinction between any candidates until they start answering questions. Doesn't matter where they went to school, how old they are, whether they're male or female. We don't care. We don't know any of that. We only look at how they respond. And based on that, we figure out how likely that employer is to select them. And what we essentially do is we predict the score that you would otherwise give to that talent trial if you were grading manually, and we do that very, very accurately. And so the outcome for the company is a ranked list of candidates, and they can still go and grade all of them manually, and they can still decide who to choose, who to eliminate. But we essentially say to them, here's where you should start, right? And then they can override the score that we assign with their own score, and the human score always wins. But it just makes life that much easier when candidates are ranked in order of performance.
Yeah, so you don't have to, I mean, if you just say we use your system completely and we're not going to go and review anything on its own, you don't have to have them submit a resume, for example, first, that an ATS is going to typically scan and look for certain things and go, no, you don't have this, kicked out. But that could be, you know, like in your situation that you talked about at the beginning, that could have been you, right? You could be the great candidate, but your resume got kicked out by an ATS machine. So therefore you didn't get a chance to show what you can do. Whereas now we can go through, we can answer the questions, we can show and demonstrate what we're capable of. And your algorithm will then say, hey, I'm going to rank all these people in order based on how they answered it. And these are the top 5, 10, 15, whatever it might be, people that you should consider moving forward. And then from there, it's really up to the company, right, to decide, okay, do I want to talk to these people next, or do I want to have them come in for a face-to-face, or, you know, whatever their process is.
That's exactly right. I mean, we never say to the company, hire Jane or hire Bob. It's up to the company whether they then want to take those candidates through another stage. It could be on our platform. It could be offline to do something else. You know, it's really up to them. We're just making it easier and delivering insight and giving them confidence on how candidates are likely to perform and contribute to their company. And just like you said, you know, the biggest flaw in the traditional process, I mean, let's forget for a minute the inefficiencies and the manual and the slow kind of parts around the traditional hiring process. Just put that to one side. The biggest flaw is that you're going to miss out on awesome people.
Right.
That you've ruled out someone awesome. And that's why we talk about uncovering hidden talent and never missing out on the hidden gems. And we have endless, countless stories of our clients telling us, I just hired a florist for an admin role, you know, someone who had no background in administration. I just hired someone I normally would have screened out. I just hired someone without a degree. I just hired someone who was 55 and all the other candidates were 22-year-old engineers. And it never ends, and they continue to surprise themselves. And that's a win. That's, you know, that's a win for everybody.
Yeah.
Because we're connecting the right people with the right opportunities and eliminating the noise. And the reason that we developed these machine learning algorithms was simply to deliver on our mission, not because AI is fancy or whatever. It's just because it makes it easier for us to achieve, to deliver the promise, our promise of making hiring about merit.
I love that. I mean, you're in a way, you're also enabling people to really become who they're meant to be or who they're supposed to be. So they can get into a role that fits them with a company that they fit with. And when that happens, everybody benefits, both the candidates and the employers.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we're here for.
Okay. I got a couple more questions for you, and then we'll wrap up the podcast portion and move into the demo. Otherwise I could just keep asking you questions all day. So I limit myself. As you were building out Vervo, what were some of the biggest hurdles that you came across that you said either you went into it thinking that it was going to work out one way and it didn't, or you went into it and you went, oh, wait, didn't think of that.
Wow. I mean, I could go on all day with some of the challenges that are involved with building something from nothing. But, you know, I think it took us a little while to figure out how to best tell our story. And keeping in mind that, you know, this is a really new category. So we're not selling toaster ovens or something kind of, or like if we were a job board, something very recognized, something very well understood. It's it's a new method. It's a new way of doing things, which means it's a change in behavior. And so when you're doing something that's new, you're asking people to move outside their comfort zone. And most often, we're not competing against another software vendor. We're competing against the status quo, the resume, the unstructured interview, the phone screen, whatever. And
this is the way we've always done it.
Right. And there's natural inertia around the way we've always done it. And so, you know, I don't have time to learn something new, all those kind of things. So we had to get really, really good at telling our story and move away from selling product and move towards selling the idea, selling the story, and talking about the pain and talking about a better way and really selling the category, the method. And then we took it even a step further and made it really personal and started telling human stories. And that's really what has worked really, really well for us. And we kind of leave the software to a little bit later in the process, even though the software looks good and feels good and it can impress. But there's no point impressing people with software when it's the idea is foreign to them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're trying to sell someone a hovercraft, you don't show them a hovercraft, you tell them that there's a much better way for them to get to work.
Right.
You know, that's because that's really what they care about. That took us some, you know, that was kind of a journey to understand how to talk about what we do in a really human way and to focus on the fundamentals. That's probably the number one thing that we've learned across throughout the journey, I'd say.
That's pretty cool. I can tell you, so in my business, I help business owners do what you're talking about, right? Is to talk in their customers' language, talk about their customers' problems, the things that they want, because so many of them want to talk about the software piece, for example. They want to talk about the gigabytes and the AI and the you know, megabytes, you know, that type of stuff. And nobody cares about that stuff.
Right.
What they care is that it works, but they don't care about that stuff.
People care about how can you help me?
Exactly.
And they also connect with an idea. If they believe what you believe, there's a connection. And so we talk about our values and our mission. We talk about screening people in, not screening people out. We tell stories. We share stories of candidates and stories of other customers. And people connect with that. And then they want to learn more and you earn an opportunity to have a conversation. And then you get to talk about your product and all these other kind of cool things. But you have to win that right. And I think if you're Apple, you win that right through your brand. They've done that for a long period of time. When you're a startup and you're trying to convince people to do something fundamentally different to what they were doing before, you have to win that right. And so we've made that a really big focus of ours.
I love that. And not just because that's what I do, help people do, but I love that because it's so true today. And if I don't stop this conversation at this point right now, you and I will be talking about this particular aspect for a really long time. So anyway, I'm going to ask you the last couple of questions. If you look out over the next, say, 3 to 5 years, how do you see kind of the career space landscape starting to change with the introduction of technology?
Yeah, so one of the things that's changing the most already is the way that companies are attracting candidates. So you look at the job board landscape, the traditional job boards are all struggling. And that's for a couple of reasons. One is non-traditional players have moved in. So first LinkedIn and now Google and Facebook and others. But also the prevalence of recruitment marketing and candidate engagement. Companies are now coming to candidates rather than waiting for candidates to come to them. And they're building relationships with candidates well before candidates are applying for jobs, well before there even is a job vacancy. They're having conversations. They're using text messages. They're building talent pools. They're using social media. And then they're also employing those methods throughout the application process. And it's becoming more conversational because candidates are, quite frankly, they're fed up with this this whole idea of I'm going to fill in a long form. I'm going to send my application into some sort of dark hole and I'm never going to hear back. That is just unacceptable. What are candidates, think about what candidates want. They don't want to spend a lot of time filling in forms. They want a chance to show what they can do and get a fair opportunity. And they just want to hear back if they didn't get the job. And if you don't do those things as a company, you're going to be in trouble. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is the space that we're in is really starting to evolve and mature. It's still very early, but companies are realizing that there is science available now. You don't have to just guess. You can actually see if they're good. You can test. You can figure it out. You can use science. And so that's sort of part of the movement that we are at the forefront of. And that's really, really an area that is really energized. And then the other sort of area that I see that's not necessarily in recruitment, but in HR generally is employee engagement and performance management. I think the sort of once a year performance review, that is really not working anymore. And just like candidates want meaningful relationships and conversations, so do employees. They don't want to be treated like a commodity. They want feedback on a consistent basis. They want to feel valued. They want very different things. You look at what candidates expect when they join a company today versus even 5 or 10 years ago. It's not just a paycheck. It's flexible working conditions. It's feedback. It's opportunity for learning and for progression. They want to develop skills. They want to be empowered. And companies who are not responding to that are going to be left behind. So you need to put all of that together. You need to articulate that in your hiring process, and you need to deliver on that when employees are working in your company. So, you know, it's a landscape that's evolving very, very rapidly, and it's in almost all aspects of the employee cycle. You know, we're excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, I love everything you said there, and I see it all evolving myself. People want to be. I mean, let's just face it. People want to be treated like humans. You know,
that's exactly right. And by the way, if you listen to the recording of what I just said in the last 2 minutes, I don't think you will have heard that I mentioned technology or AI or software or automation.
Correct.
Right? Those things are enablers. But fundamentally, this is a game of human beings interacting with other human beings. And we want that to be better. And if we can use technology to serve that need, fantastic. That's why we're here. But none of this is about like AI is not, it's a symptom. But it's not like, the end game is not AI. AI will either help us have better processes and better interactions, or it'll just be a gimmick.
I love it. Well, one thing is for sure, Vervo is definitely not a gimmick. It's an extremely useful tool that I personally think a lot of companies need to go out, check you out, and start using the platform, because it does help give candidates that you may never otherwise find an opportunity to prove to you that they can demonstrate or that they can do the job. And when they can do that, not only does the candidate win, but also the employer wins as well. And so with that, Omir, we'll go ahead and wrap up this. And as we do that, what are, for those listening, some of the best ways that they can reach out to you or get in touch with you or learn more about Vervo?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website, vervo.com, vervoe.com, and we have live chat on the site where you can talk to our team pretty much anytime. And me personally, I tend to hang out on LinkedIn quite a bit. So that's the best way to find me. But you know, our team is all over the world. So we're in the US, we're in Australia. And so the team loves to chat to either existing or prospective customers. So hit us up on the site for a conversation. And we obviously have a blog as well for people who kind of just want to sort of follow and read up on us, but aren't necessarily ready for a conversation. So we tend to publish some of the stuff that we're doing. And usually it's high level inside. And so that's another way that people can engage with what we're doing, keep up with what we're doing.
Fantastic. And I seriously hope anybody listening today, if you are looking to transform your hiring process, give Vervo a try. Look them up. I can vouch for your responsiveness also on LinkedIn, because I'm pretty sure that's where you and I hooked up. But I do want to say thank you very much for taking the time to talk today. I love learning more about the product, and I look forward to seeing how you expand Vervo and really help to transform the hiring process.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. I really appreciate you saying that, and thanks a lot for all the support.
No, thank you. And for those listening in, this is the part of the show now where we're going to move over to a live demonstration of the product. So if you would like to see Vervo in use, head over to careertech.tv. That's careertech.tv. And at that point, you will see a live step-by-step demonstration with Vervo. And with that, thanks for tuning in today. And until next time, I've been Ryan, and I'm out.
Today's show was edited and produced by Ryan Brogan, and the intro and outro music is Digital Warfare by Michael Lamont. Music license was purchased via pond5.com.